Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
iHeart Podcast Update. This week on your free iHeartRadio app.
Fodor's Guide to Espionage, a 60s-era spy story of the world's first and greatest travel writer, Eugene Fodor, as he jet sets around the globe. Tongue Unbroken, Season 2. This podcast explores complex concepts of identity, resilience, erasure, and genocide. Table for Two, Season 2. Think of the show as a deconstructed Oscar party in podcast form. Each episode takes place over the romance of a meal and feels like you're seated next to a different guest at that dinner. Hear these podcasts and more on your free iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now here's a highlight from Coast to Coast AM on iHeartRadio.
So what do you think of the Pope urging believers to pray that artificial intelligence and robots always serve mankind? What is he hinting at, Peter?
Well, the big problem is we have many people who have never studied the subject, they've never worked in the subject. They look at it from the outside with zero understanding, and then they coin a word, pontificate, about it, rightly or wrongly. I'm not decrying that people should have an opinion on the subject, but the reality is all technology is absolutely and utterly benign. It is never technology that's the problem. We've never invented anything that's been on its own harmful to the human race. It's when people get their hands on it, that's the difficulty, what people will do with it. And so I can't think of a technology that's been invented that hasn't been weaponized in some way or other. So those are the concerns. So if we invent a technology like AI and robotics and then give it a gun and teach you to kill people, that's not the fault of the technology.
That's us.
Problem.
Exactly.
So I always look at these things in terms of what's the upside of the technology and what is the downside. So the reality is that AI is saving lives every day. It's providing us with food and clothing. It is helping us create what we now call Industry 4.0, which is the first attempt, if you like, by our species to create some kind of symbiotic relationship with the planet, i.e. a sustainable society. And without it, we will not be able to create the materials and the medicines, the drugs, and things of that nature to sustain human beings into the future. So we've reached a tipping point, if you wish, but we've done this successively through every industrial revolution. It is now starting to dawn on people, and it's been blindingly obvious for a long time, that we live on a planet that is finite, and we have an infinite appetite for consumption. And the two don't go together.
And Peter, let's talk about the title of your new book, AI and Policing. What's the policing part of that?
Well, what we've done, myself and co-editors have brought together a series of chapters that have a look at the whole problem of law and order. So I suspect you have definitely got this problem in the U.S.
Oh, yeah.
In the U.K., we have the barristers. These are the people that take court cases to court.
They're like lawyers right?
Yeah. They're absolutely overwhelmed by the caseload. And what I mean is, if they don't stop work and they keep going 24 hours a day for about 5 years, they're still going to be behind. So we've now got court cases that are pending for over a year because nobody can read the paperwork fast enough. Nobody can put a pro and con argument, examine the evidence fast enough. And so AI has that ability to actually read all of this stuff. And it's been demonstrated, and it works very well. And it's actually being adopted in the US, of course, first. But the UK is now starting to look at it. We have a lot of tensions in modern society. And one of the big difficulties is that the pace of change is far faster now than human beings can cope with. In my case, for example, I made the decision many years ago to stop specializing and to become a generalist. Now, the joy of this is I've been able to work on projects that have spanned a huge range. The downside is I have to read everything from molecular science through to clinical science, through to engineering, physics, biology, chemistry, just to keep a surface view, if you like, of where the developments are. I've been working for a number of companies over the last 20 years, and I've seen this trend, if you will, just accelerate. The people, the experts, the people developing the systems, I would very often characterize as being 1 meter wide and 2 kilometers deep. And what I mean is they know an infinite amount about almost nothing. But push them to one side of their expertise level, and they don't know very much at all. Now, this is kind of dangerous, mm-hmm. if you like, when you're trying to create a technology and solutions for society, which is a very broad animal. You know, societies are not very narrow. We survive by virtue of our diversity. And it's becoming increasingly difficult to have a diverse view. So I've been employed over the last 20 years to connect the dots. I've gone into teams where literally there's been difficulty for the engineers and the scientists of so many disciplines to talk together and understand what is happening. And so to me, the epitome of this would be something like, say, a Boeing 777. Nobody understands how that beast works. No one person can tell you how that beast works. What you can get is somebody who will tell you about the deep technology involved in creating a turbine blade. You can get somebody who will tell you in detail about the combustion chamber mm-hmm. on the jet engine. You can get somebody who will tell you about the airfoil and so on. But no one can actually put it all together. So we're way past the point where the systems we are building were actually within the grasp of a single human mind. And so if we're not careful, we get the rather silly situations where managers make decisions based on partial information or ignorance. They're driven by whatever mechanisms you wish to think of. And you finish it with a disaster. And so Boeing have suffered that fate with one of their aircraft, which has had to be grounded. And I feel for these people because they are managing multidisciplinary teams on projects that are phenomenally complex, and they need help. And the only help that we can see and we have is to bring in the technology. And very often that comes in the shape of AI, but also visualization graphics and things like that. So this is not a new story, by the way. It's happened cycle after cycle after right. cycle. It's just getting faster.
What has fueled it, though, Peter? What is really pushing this artificial intelligence to do these remarkable things, many of which we'll talk about tonight?
We have a desperate need. We have over 7 billion people on this planet. There are enough resources to keep people alive and provide them all with a reasonable standard of living. And as I've said many times now, we've got to stop creating more and more for the few, and we've got to start providing sufficient for the many. If we do not do that, we will never have peace, stability, and reasonable conditions right across the planet. And so it's not by accident that globalization has happened. It's occurred because no country, not China, not Europe, not the USA, not Russia, have got all the resources they need to match the demands of the modern world. And so we have to collaborate, we have to cooperate, because, believe it or not, we are desperately short of people on this planet. And I mean people with the necessary skills and capability to solve the problems we face, which are many, COVID being a good example.
Mm-hmm.
Without those skills, we will suffer. So a friend of mine made a very interesting statement the other day, and it was that we've damaged the planet and now she's fighting back. So COVID is really quite a result of the pressure put on the environment by human beings. Now, if we want to avoid more COVID or more fight back from the planet, we have to find a way of living more sympathetically with nature. We can't do that with the technology from the past, the thinking from the past, or the economic models and the politics of the past. It needs a different approach.
There's a movie, Peter, called The Truman Show, and it was with a star, Jim Carrey, who's a comedian,
yeah,
but it was
that.
A great show. And it dealt with how in his entire life it was videotaped, since he was a baby and everything else, and then they showed it later on, and it was remarkable. Are we going to get to that point? Have we gotten to that point where, you know, we're going to be wearing cameras, we're going to be doing all these things, and our lives will be recorded all the time?
I think we're way past that point. I think a lot of Americans would be outraged if they came to the UK. It's very difficult to get off camera.
Really?
There are more cameras per head of population in the UK than the vast majority of the countries. The good news is people are quite happy about it. It fits well with the society. I'm very happy that when my wife goes out at night, there are lots of cameras in the parking lot.
You feel safer with these cameras?
Of course. They're great for observing people from a safety point of view, but also, you know, medical emergencies, traffic jams, accidents. It speeds up the whole emergency response situation. So from a safety, a personal safety, but from a societal safety point of view, it works very well. You go to China, it's a little more extreme. That society happens to be happy with it, but all the police are now wearing cameras in the major cities. They will look at you, use facial recognition, and flag to the police officer if you're wanted, or you're a criminal, or they've got some outstanding charge, you should be intercepted. That is not exactly happening in the UK, but our policemen are now wearing cameras. It helps with things like evidence, traffic incidents, interception of crime on the streets with body-worn cameras is absolutely revolutionizing law and order. And you don't have to go too far. Go on YouTube and have a look on the USA Fed sites from police forces, but from Joe Public, where they've got dash cams and they're recording accidents. Some vehicles coming out of Japan have got 7 or 8 or 10 cameras on them, facing forward, backwards, sidewards, and they record 15 minutes of activity all the time. So if you have an accident, you've got a full video record. So this revolutionizes insurance. So I've had accidents like everybody else in the vehicle, and years ago I had one, and the paperwork, my God, it was killing. It took a long time.
Sure.
But then my wife had a small accident, and we got a video, we got photographs, and we just sent them into the insurance company. By the time we got home, it's all been settled.
That's amazing. Where do you see AI going, Peter, in 20 years?
Well, right now, I have to say that AI is on a ladder, and it's really only on about the first one and a half rungs up the ladder. Its great skill, as far as we are concerned right now, is its ability to recognize patterns that we cannot see. And so it can see patterns developing new materials or new drugs or human behavior or machine behavior. And that is a phenomenally powerful resource. So I have AI in every room in my house here. And so one of the paradoxes, if you wish, is that the most popular AI system in use for people like you and I is Alexa. It comes out of Amazon, and Amazon is not even a tech company, apparently. And so it's now getting embedded in television sets and talk to my car, talk to my TV, talk to everything. Terrific. Saves me time. I don't have to type. I can ask. So as an interface, it's rather a wonderful facility. The next rungs as we go up are to start heading towards putting in sensory capability. At the moment, AI is a disembodied entity. So in my work, what I have discovered, that the property of sentience is far more to do with the sensory system and the connection to the environment than it is to do with the processing power and the memory. So when you start to put all kinds of sensors onto an AI, then it starts to create, if you like, some form of awareness, some kind of model of where it lives and what it does. That ups the ante quite significantly.
Listen to more Coast to Coast AM every weeknight at 1 a.m. Eastern, and go to coasttocoastam.com for more.
Hi, I'm Johnny B. Good, host of the podcast Creating a Con, The Story of BitCon, which dives deep into the story of Ray Trapani and his company, Centratech, and explores how 320-somethings built a company out of lies, deceit, and greed. Ray Trapani, a 26-year-old dropout who was a recovering addict with no tech experience, founded one of the hottest startups in 2017. Ray's company was endorsed by major credit card companies, celebs like DJ Khaled and Floyd Mayweather, and appointed a Harvard-educated CEO. It was going to be the next big thing, until it wasn't. Because the entire company was one big lie. I'm excited to let you know that all episodes of Creating a Con, The Story of BitCon, are available and 100% ad-free exclusively with the iHeart True Crime Plus subscription on Apple Podcasts, so you can binge the entire season. So don't wait. Head to Apple Podcasts, search for iHeart True Crime Plus, and subscribe today.
iHeart Podcast Update. This week on your free iHeart Radio app. Fodor's Guide to Espionage, a 60s-era spy story of the world's first and greatest travel writer, Eugene Fodor, as he jet sets around the globe. Tongue Unbroken Season 2. This podcast explores complex concepts of identity, resilience, erasure, and genocide. Table for Two Season 2. Think of the show as a deconstructed Oscar party in podcast form. Each episode takes place over the romance of a meal and feels like you're seated next to a different guest at that dinner. Hear these podcasts and more on your free iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.